Such a great church, a vibrant church, a church that's used of the Lord. I drove up yesterday and saw the buses out there. And then I told your pastor that usually when you see a fleet of buses, it means death to missions. But here is a church that is doing both, and we're grateful for that. Praise the Lord that your faith promise giving has nothing to do with your bus ministry, and we're grateful for that. We're honored to be here this morning, and we were privileged to have Tori with us down in Brazil. It was a real joy, and then be with Graham and his wife. His wife is here this morning. What we'll be doing this morning, we'll just be bringing a normal lesson on faith promise giving. And then this, in the morning hour, I want to preach on that also. But I want to teach on it first. So if you have your, I don't believe we'll need our Bibles just yet. Shall we stand for just a moment of prayer, please? And our Heavenly Father, we're so grateful this morning for everything you've done. Thank you for a church that wants to reach out. Thank you for a church that has a desire to win souls here in Galilee, in Judea, and in the othermost parts of the earth. I pray that God help us to be a blessing. Please fill us with thy spirit. I pray that what we say might be set with clarity, that we might be used and anointed. And I pray that God would give us listening ears and receptive hearts. And we pray that there will be no doubt in our mind about faith promise giving, that it's biblical, that it's your will. And I pray that God help us this morning to be faithful to thee. In Jesus' lovely name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We are very happy to have Homolo, his wife Rachel. Homolo was saved in our church as just a young boy, and then also my boy and his wife, who was also saved in our church as just a young girl, my wife this morning. We're grateful that they could be with us. Thank you for everything you've done. Now, for a little while this morning, we want to talk to you about the system, the sensibleness, and the success of faith promise giving. What is it? Does it make sense? Is it successful? Those questions, to the most of you, really don't need to be answered, but yet we want to do our best to go into faith promise giving. Every pastor, whether he be a missionary or whether he be a pastor, is constantly teaching the people to give in different ways. There's the tithe, which is a tenth part of everything that God gives us. There's also offerings. That's what we give as the Lord lays on our heart. He may lay a project upon our heart. He may lay something upon our heart. And we may give above our tithe. And then there is faith promise giving, which very few Christians really know much about it. This is one of the ways that we support missionaries and mission work here and abroad. It's an amount known only by prayer. If someone doesn't pray about their faith promise giving, they will not know what to do. And when we're led of the Lord, we commit ourselves to give to world evangelism, something that we don't have right now. It's something that we're promising in the future, and something that we don't have right now. Now, all giving in general should be given in certain ways. I believe that all giving should be done with cheerfulness. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9:7, every man according as he hath purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver, a hilarious, cheerful giver. I don't know whether you've heard of the two black men that were walking down the highway one day, and one asked the other one, he said, sir, he said, if you had $2 million, would you give me $1 million? He said, why, sure I would. You know I would. And he said, if you had 10 houses, would you give me 5? And he said, of course I would. He said, if you had 2 hogs, would you give me 1? And he kicked him and said, you know I got 2 hogs. And there wasn't any cheerfulness in that. And sometimes folks are willing to give what they don't have. Well, when we come to faith promise giving, that's really what it amounts to, giving what we don't have. But we should be cheerful givers. God saved C.T. Studd, which was a wealthy man, a famous soccer player in England. And God not only saved him, but called him to be a missionary. And he felt that that money and the fortune that he had would be an hindrance to him. So he and his wife sat down and all night long wrote out checks to certain mission projects. Took them all night to give their fortune away. It'd take me about 10 seconds. How about you? But it took them all night to give their fortune away. And as the sun was coming up that morning, they stood there. All the envelopes were sealed. They had checks inside. And there was such joy in their hearts that they united hands and literally danced around the table with joy. They were literally giving with a cheerful spirit. All giving must be done with cheerfulness. It must be done with faithfulness, without murmuring, never missing, always faithful, whether it be tithe, whether it be an offering, or whether it be our faith, promise giving, it should be done cheerfully, it should be done faithfully, and it should be done with faith. And that's where we're going to examine this morning, faith promise giving. Now let's look at the system. What is faith promise? What does it mean? Well, it means to give by faith, depending upon the ability of God to supply that gift. In other words, you and I should pray. And we should find out what God wants and by faith commit ourselves for the coming year, trusting in the ability of God by faith for the work of world evangelism. May I include right here, I don't believe it'll work for anything else. I don't believe that you can go year after year after year for a building program or for maybe some other means. I believe that faith promise giving only works for world evangelism. Now, number one, what is it? Faith promise giving isn't giving what we have in hands right now. It's not giving what we've got right now. It's to believe that we are led of the Lord after prayer and we commit ourselves, and it's to believe that God will supply that. I read about a dear man that took a certain sum of money out of the bank and brought it to church, and he told his pastor, he said, here's my faith promise giving. The pastor was very humble and very grateful and very thankful for the gift for missions. That gift was accepted, and then he handed him a card and said, "Now we want you to be involved also in faith promise giving." You see, to give out of the bank didn't demand any faith. But we want you to trust the Lord for this coming year. Now, here's a card. You fill it out. Now, that's what faith promise giving is. We have all heard, and if you have your Bibles, open up to 1 Samuel. Chapter 1, verse 10 and 11, we've all heard of Hannah, and I want you to see the principle of giving what you don't have here. Look at verse 10. They're at the temple, and she was in bitterness, or at the place of worship. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, "O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto me thine handmaid a man child." Now look what she says. "Then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head." Lord, I will give to you what I don't have, a child, if you give him to me. And of course, in verse 19, we read, "And they rose up early in the morning early, and worshiped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her." She conceived, and there was a child born. And then you read in verse 28, "Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent or given to the Lord," and he worshiped the Lord there. All right, here's a lady that is telling God, "If you will give this to me, I will give it back to you. I will give him back to you." That's faith promise giving. And of course, the other illustration in the Bible, the most widely used, is in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. It's the church of Macedonia. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 2 and 3. "How that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality." I live in a country where our people mainly are poor. But I have told them over and over again, nobody is too poor to be a tither, to be an offerer, and to participate in faith promise giving. Nobody is too poor. Everybody can have faith. Now, here is a church, and they were so poor that they were exempted from all tax purposes. Macedonia was literally filled with poverty, and here is a church that out of that poverty, we bless the Lord for our people. Last week they finished their faith promise. This is the 11th year that we have been practicing Faith Promise in Brazil, and thank God for what it has been done. For several years now, our Faith Promise has been equaling our tithes, which I'm very grateful to the Lord. And some of our people may make $200 a week, or some may make more. I mean a month, I'm sorry. $200, $300 a month. And we have 43 missionaries, Brazilians, scattered throughout the jungles. There's 200 Indian tribes, and we have 43 scattered throughout the jungles. We have two men in Senegal, Africa, two in Colombia, South America, and then we also have one all the way across the world in Cyprus. All of that is done through Faith Promise giving. And when I wrote them a letter saying that we were praying for their Faith Promise, I received a reply through another missionary that they were trying to double what they had been doing. Here's a church that gave out of their poverty. Look in verse 3. For to their power, in other words, what they could do, I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willingly of themselves. In other words, they gave. The church heard of the necessity. And they did the best they could. Paul said, according to their power, they gave. But then he puts in here a phrase that touches our hearts, and he said they gave beyond their power. And the only way to give beyond your power is to say there's a need. There's a need. And it was to tell Paul, you come back next year, and we promise by faith to have this offering, a staggering amount for you. It was faith promise. And of course, weekly, they laid that aside, according to 1 Corinthians. Now, faith promise is giving what we don't have unto the Lord, but it's giving what we're willing to trust Him for, and we're willing to give what He places upon our hearts. Secondly, faith promise giving makes us partners in this effort of world evangelism. Aren't you thrilled this morning to be involved in evangelism around the world? Amen or not, brethren? I mean, I'm thrilled. I mean, Homolo, would you stand, please? Adriana? I mean, everywhere I go, I tell people that at the judgment seat of Christ, I will show you hundreds and thousands of Brazilians. But ladies and gentlemen, I can show you two this morning. Isn't it wonderful to be involved in a work that's going on around the world, and you may not see the results? Thank you. You may be seated. You see, faith promise giving is the most self, it's so unselfish. You see, if we buy an organ for the church, who's going to benefit by it? Tell me. Sure. If we buy a piano for the church, who's going to benefit by it? Church. See, you're not seeing your faith promise yet. You may see a couple, but you're not seeing But you wait till you stand before the Lord and they start coming in from the east and the west and from all over this world, and we'll be glad that we've been a partner with God in world evangelism. Nothing like it. Nothing like it in all the world. Think of it. Being a partner with the Lord. Now, faith promise giving proves our sincerity to the Lord. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 8. Paul said, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others to prove the sincerity of your love. Now, how many wives have ever said to your husband, if you really love me, you would do this? Have you ever said that? How many ladies have ever said it? Raise your hand. Sure. Well, that's what the Lord's saying here. If you really love me, if you really love me, you can prove your love. The same way that I proved my love to you. And how did he prove his love to us? God so loved the world that he what? He gave. Now here our Lord is saying, you can prove to me that you really love me by doing the same thing that I did to prove my love to you by giving. By giving. Christ gave all for us. He gave his glory. He gave his crown. He gave the splendor of heaven. He gave his own life on the cross. And if we really care about the millions around the world, if we're really concerned, we will care and we will prove our care by giving through faith promise giving. Now, fourthly, we're talking about what is it? Faith promise giving is sharing with others. God never intended that just a certain elect here. When I talk about world evangelism, I'm not talking about winning the world to Christ. I'm talking about giving everybody a chance to hear. A chance to hear. Now, that's the system of faith promise giving. Now, let's go on to the second thing, the sensibleness of faith promise giving. Does it really make sense to give something that you don't have? Does that make sense? Your goal has been $125,000 here. Now, someone may ask, where is that money? How many of you have $125,000 in your pocket? Raise your hand, please. Anybody here? No, we don't have it. I mean, nobody around here has got it. And so when you talk about giving now something that you don't have, businessmen look over their glasses and say, hey, are you crazy? You just don't do business like that. You go to a banker and he's got to have collateral. You go to the bank and he's got to have certain guarantees. But here we are, and this church is willing to trust you if you're willing to trust God for $125,000 for this coming year, at least. Does that really make sense? Well, to the world, it may not. But let me show you some reasons that it makes sense to Bible believers. Number one, it makes sense because faith promise giving puts all the responsibility upon God. Is he able? Is he able? and faith promise giving, it places all the responsibility upon Him. It's not if I have health this year. It's not if I have a job. It's, Lord, You're leading me. Are You able? Are You able? So it does make sense. Because God never gets sick. God never loses a job. God never is laid out of work. God never has an accident. And faith promise giving is depending upon Him. Abraham said to Isaac, as they were going up to Mount Moriah, he said, God will provide. Think of that. God, an almighty, omnipotent God. And then I like what Abraham said, He will. It's not that He might, He will. And He will do what? He will provide. He will provide. Everything I know fails. Men fail. Parents fail. Families fail. Nations fail. Churches fail. But the only person that I know that never, never fails is our God. And hallelujah, faith promise giving makes sense because it puts all the responsibility upon Him. Secondly, faith promise giving makes sense because it used something that God honors and is pleased with, faith. Amen or not, brother? I mean, God is honored with faith and God is pleased with faith. You see, we are saved by faith. We walk by faith. We understand by faith, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3. We worship by faith, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4. And the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11, 6, then ladies and gentlemen, I submit to you that faith promise giving is sensible because it puts all the responsibility upon God, and secondly, it's using an instrument that God delights to bless and is honored with, your faith and my faith. Faith appropriates that which we don't have. But that which we are led to give and trust God for world evangelism, that faith honors God. Now, thirdly, faith promise giving makes sense because it builds great Christians. Is that right? Amen or not? Amen or not? Come on, folks. Huh? You won't scare me. I'm from Greenville, South Carolina. It builds great Christians. And 2 Peter 3 and verse 18 says that we are to grow in grace. Faith promise giving helps the Christian to grow in the grace of giving. What a blessing. To see men and women, they get saved and they start giving their tithe and all of a sudden they're challenged with faith promise giving and they begin to grow in this grace of giving. When you put your name on that card today, are you listening? Your faith is being activated. And that means you're going to have to pray more. It means you're going to have to stay on your knees. And you're going to ask the Lord for that which you have promised because you're counting on Him but is received through prayer. It builds great Christians. I remember years ago we had wanted to buy some land. And of course, Tori has seen it right directly in front of our church. And land is the price of gold in Brazil. And I told the people, you're giving your tithes, you're giving faith, promise giving. But I said, let's do even more. Let's give a one-time offering more than we've ever given. And in those days, a car is a great blessing. You didn't find many people driving a car. And one of our men came in and he laid his keys down on the altar and he said, preacher, he said, I want to give my car for the buying of that land. Well, listen, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, very few have given a car, but here's a man where a car was a rare thing, and yet he gave it. That was developed. That didn't come just like that. That wasn't mere emotion. One of our girls, that's a missionary on the Amazon River right now. She came and she took off her class ring. My class ring means a lot to me. And she said, Pastor, I want to give this class ring to buy the land in front of the church. I told her I couldn't take it. She said, I'm sorry, Pastor. I'm not giving it to you or the church. I'm giving it to Jesus Christ. She was made a great Christian by faith, promise, giving on this part of giving. Another dear girl, we lost one of our best missionaries, Brazilian men, that had worked in the Yanomami tribe for many years. He became very sick. 37 years of age, one of the greatest missionaries I've ever met. He died of acute leukemia. And I challenged the church to raise an offering for his widow. And I'll never forget one dear young girl coming up. She said, Pastor, there in Brazil, they make their receive by monthly and not weekly. She said, I'm signing my whole check over for this month. I want to give that to Paulo Kurenchuki's widow. Folks, I'm talking about something that staggered me. I'm talking about something that made my knees tremble and shake at looking at the faith of these dear people. And that wasn't built just like that. That takes time to build Christians like that. And faith, promise, giving develops Christians. So it does make sense. Amen or not? Number four. Faith, promise, giving makes sense because it's just a blessing to us. God will keep His promise, amen or not. The church that shares God's desire in reaching the world in world evangelism is blessed. I'll show you that in the preaching hour. God blesses a church that is evangelistic not only here, but worldwide. God blesses that. Amen or not? How many of you can say that God has blessed Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church? Can you say that? Amen or not? Brother, you don't lack for anything. Hey, I even counted your buses yesterday. You got 23 of them. I looked at everything. You're not lacking anything here. You're blessed this morning. You're blessed this morning. God has been good to this church. And I believe that one reason isn't because you've got a large group of wealthy men, but because all of you together are partners in world evangelism. Evangelism here and evangelism abroad. Now, I was preaching a missionary conference up in Clinton, Maryland for Brother Pat Creed. And, well, just let me tell you this. He faced a bunch of missionaries that had been on the field, and he said, "What are you doing about missions? Do you know what every missionary said? Well, we're trying to get our national supported." And he showed them, by faith, promise, giving, you can have just two tithers, and it won't take away from supporting of your nationals, and you as just two tithers can already have a part in missions around the world. Isn't that wonderful? And you know what allows us to do that? It's faith, promise, giving. Now, let me close by saying this. Is it successful? Yes, it is. It's successful. If three things are done, and I'm not going to have time to go over them. Number one, if every Christian is informed of the need of world evangelism, and if every Christian is informed that you personally are accountable and responsible for world evangelism. I'm saying everyone here this morning personally is accountable and responsible for world evangelism. Secondly, if every Christian is instructed. Now, we shouldn't take it for granted. If there's a new Christian and you do not know what I'm talking about, ask one of the Sunday school teachers. Ask the pastor. If you're instructed and informed. And last, if you're involved. Faith, promise, missions, works. It's successful in getting the gospel out around the world. Shall we bow our heads for prayer, please? Father, thank you this morning for the system, the sensibleness, and the success of faith, promise, giving. I pray that you would help us, lead us, and guide us, and make us what you want us to be, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Let me ask the choir, all the choir.